All right. Well, it's good to be back here at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, amen, here in Waynesboro, PA. And we're in Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4, as we continue this on making good choices. Making good choices. Joshua said that choose you this day whom ye will serve. And then he says, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And I pray that's been your choice. I pray that has been your choice. And tonight we're going to see some things in the Scriptures here about Joshua who made the right choice and had took the children of Israel in the right direction. And my friend, we need to be thankful for the right choices that we have made in our life.
That's right.
And the right direction that the Lord has led us in. So let's look at these and let's reminisce a little bit. And as I'm preaching, let your mind wander in a good direction. Amen. Don't let it wander along the lines of, well, I can't wait to get back home because I've got something good to eat for me. And I've got this ice cream in the freezer, and boy, and I just can't wait to get a hold of that. Get that out of your mind. You already thought about it. Okay, it's gone. Okay. Boy, that was a rough day at work today. Boy, I just can't wait to kick my feet up. Okay, don't kick your feet up in church right now, but you've already thought about that, so get that away. Okay? So we'll get everything wiped away. I'm not going to go through all the listings because I don't know what they are, which is a good thing. I don't want to know what you're thinking right now, other than keep going, Brother Holtzclaw. So I'm going to keep on going. But here in Joshua chapter number 4, we're going to start with just verse number 9. In verse number 9 it says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. Skip down to verse number 20. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over. And as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. I had you bring these stones tonight. Maybe you were already asking this self-same question, what mean these stones? But I do want to share with you, in light of what's going on here, maybe tonight you'll be able to answer this question. What mean these stones? Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for tonight and your blessings to us. Lead us and guide us. Lord, direct my heart tonight. Lord, I just desire to be your servant. Lord, use me. Lord, use all of us. As dear Lord, tonight we reminisce a little bit and we think of some things and some items of our life that have been a great blessing. And dear Lord, well, we've chosen the right direction. But Lord, lead us. Lead us through the Scriptures. And dear Lord, may we make a right decision tonight. And tonight, may we make that decision for the good and the right. But Lord, we love you. We praise you. We pray all these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Getting you up to the story here. Moses, the servant of God, is dead. And the Lord now raises up a new leader in the midst of the children of Israel. It is this one Joshua. It was the same Joshua who was with Caleb that gave the right report. Who chose wisely. For when the 12 men went to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Amen. Remember that, boys and girls? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants big and tall. Some saw grapes and clusters fall. Amen. And some complained. I can't tell you something. 10 were bad, but 2 were good. And that one of those 2 was Joshua.
Right.
And when the children of Israel decided not to cross over because they feared those which were on the other side, God brought judgment to them. All those under the age of 20, except Joshua and Caleb, were going to die. But only those which were under, did I say that right? Over 20 would die. Under would be able to cross over into the promised land. At that time, Joshua was already 40. Mm-hmm. And Joshua at this moment here is now much more in age because he told him to wander in the wilderness for another 40 years. And so here Joshua's in his 80s, and Joshua is in his 80s, and they're getting ready to cross over. God's blessing is now upon the children of Israel. And he comes unto them. And I want to show you a passage of scripture in Joshua chapter number 3. In Joshua chapter number 3 and verse number 7. In Joshua 3:7 it says here, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I am with Moses, was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Verse 8, "And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanite and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites." Please don't ask me to read those again, okay? "But behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and of all the earth passeth over you before you unto Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribe of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, at the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zertan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all of Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed over Jordan." Amen? What a story. What a story. So the time has come. Joshua's in charge. It's time to lead the children of Israel over. God comes to Joshua. "Joshua, you're the man. This is what I want you to do." And Joshua made the right choice. Joshua said, "Gather together. I want to tell you what the Lord has said." And my friend, we need more people to tell other people what the Lord has said. We need more preachers to preach about the fact that the Lord has said. So here they are. But not that only. God is now telling them to do more things. For first of all, I want you to see, when God shares with us things, there's first of all, there is a calling. There is a calling. God has given Joshua a calling to go. And my friend, again and again through the Bible, we see God calling His men to do great things for Him. And to whom He calls, He provides and gives everything He needs. These weren't good men. These weren't all powerful men. These weren't all known men. We learned a little bit last year, I believe I preached on a good series on that of Gideon. And who was Gideon? But a lowly guy from a lowly tribe and the youngest and the lowliest of his family. Amen? He was the lowliest of the lowliest. But God used him to wrought a great victory for the children of Israel. And my friend, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. But if you have Jesus in your heart and you're moving forward and you've made the right choice, God has given you a calling. And so I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen God come down and talk to me or see things written in the sky. No, sir, you might not. And no, ma'am, you may not. But you do have the Word of God. Amen. Where God has called us into His service and has called us as His children to go. Again and again He's told us to go. "Go ye therefore into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature." He's told us to go and to get out and to be, hey, we're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. Yeah.
Right.
And so we have a calling. There is a calling upon us. Like God has called your preacher to come to back to this area and to pastor this church. And yes, things have been up and things have been down. But through the calling of God, God's been on him and preaching and faithfully preaching through all these years. And praise God for that. But God's not only given him a calling, God's given you a calling. And may we see the calling that's given here by the children of Israel to go. Hey, can you imagine them hearing these words? They're standing there at the brink of the muddy Jordan River that is overflowing its banks all harvest season. And they're seeing this muddy river. Oh, these aren't the same people, my friend. These aren't the same people that crossed over the Red Sea. This is a whole other generation of people. But these are the generation that have seen God move and seen the fire by night and the pillar cloud by day. These are the same ones that have been fed the quail and have been fed the manna from heaven. But here they have to cross over this big muddy Jordan River. They had a calling. They had a calling. And they heed God's calling. They made the right choice and they stepped forward. And what happened? Just as God said. I can't imagine the sight. I'd like to see Hollywood try to reproduce that one. Amen? To where everything that was coming down from the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, making its way down the Jordan River, that God said, enough. It's as if God put His mighty hand down there and backed up the water. How? And the water piled up. It didn't go around his hand. It didn't go around whatever it was. It could have been an angel sitting there doing this. I don't know what it was. God doesn't tell us. Well, you have to get to heaven and say, God, how'd you hold the water back? Either that or the water just obeyed.
That's right.
Whatever happened, that water went up. How high did the water go? However high it needed to go.
Amen.
Because can I tell you something? There's nothing going to rise above God. Amen.
Amen.
So here's this water piling up. The Israelites step out, they obey because first of all, there is a calling. And my friend, in your life, in my life, there have been some callings. There's been some times that God's come to you and there are times God has spoken to you and God has showed to your heart something that you needed to do. I'm going to tell Miss Holtzclaw. Normally she's a little bit of a shy person. She really is. But not around me though. She's not shy around me or Maggie or Elizabeth. But for the most part, she'll kind of shy back and just kind of, she'd rather listen. And that's a good trait to have. She'd rather listen. But I'll tell you something, and you will, she does listen. Amen. She's listening now. But when I get home, she'll be talking. Amen. She will be talking. Now, but I'll tell you something, there was a time that, you know, when, I'm going to just give this incident. Normally, Ms. Holtzclaw's really got to get out of herself to talk to strangers. But here she was. She was with our ladies from our church going to a ladies' conference. And after the ladies' conference, they were going to this little gas station area like a Sheetz or a Turkey Hill. And off to the side were these guys that were riding these motorcycles, a little small motorcycle gang. And the lady says, oh no, I wouldn't go give them a track. And she says, sure, what's wrong with that? She had a calling.
Amen.
She had a calling to go. She knew it inside of her heart. But for these ladies, I better go show them what God would do if you just step out by faith and carry. And so she carried a gospel tract and she went around the building handing them gospel tracts. And guess what? The ladies in the van went, "Here she go!" But tell you what, she could have stayed in the van. She could have said, "No, I'm not going. No, I'm not going to do that." But what a victory that was.
Amen.
For her, and can I tell you something? Maybe God showed you some things in your life, and He gave you a calling, and you've got that memory. Can I tell you something? That memory is like that stone you have. It's a little monument. It's a little remembrance. But not only do we, when God calls us, do we have a remembrance, but secondly, I want you to see, as the Israelites had that calling to cross over, secondly, they had the opportunity of, where there is a calling, there is a crossing. There is a crossing.
Joshua chapter number 3, verse 14, as we see here in verse number 14. I know we read it, but let's look at it again. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as that they bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth the banks in the time of harvest, that the waters came down from above, stood and rose up upon a heap. They stayed upon a heap. These guys went into the middle of the river with the ark, and everybody walked by them. And as they walked by them in this crossing, those guys stood there with that ark. I don't know what they were doing. I'm sure that they were praying and thanking God for holding the water back as more people crossed. And thank you, Lord, for still holding that water back. And Lord, thank you for still holding that water back. Ooh. Was that a bass? They're holding that water, and maybe something else big swung by. I don't know what was in the muddy Jordan. Was that a catfish? That was the biggest catfish I ever saw. I'm glad it's on that side. But can I tell you something? When God gives you a calling, these folks had to have faith to cross over. The priests had to have faith to step into the brim of the water, and only the brim only, but to go a little further. And my friend, where there is a calling, there is a crossing. As I shared the story about my wife, she had a calling, but she had to go and do a crossing. Just like your pastor, though he had received the calling of God to preach, he had to make a crossing over and said, this is where God wants me to be. And again in my life, and again in your life, where God has given us a calling or a challenge or a task to accomplish, whether it is a great task for Him or a real small task for Him, there is that moment that we have to step in. And there is that moment that we have to cross over.
Amen.
If you reminisce a little bit in your mind, have you had one of those? Nod your head. I've had moments like that. I've had moments like that in my life. I'll just give you a big one. Only stepping out in faith to go into ministry and being a pastor of a church and praying to the Lord, is this where you want me to be and where you want me to pastor and cross over? But God really worked upon my heart for several years about stepping out by faith and doing what we now do in missions. And really trusting in faith as we show up at another church, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing how God's going to provide. But before we stepped out and we did that, we prayed a lot about it. Are you sure this is what you want to do? Are you sure this is really where God wants you to go and to travel up and down the East Coast and maybe across the country to help struggling preachers and help start brand new churches? And I said, yes, honey, but I didn't know how it was all going to be defined. I didn't know how it was all going to lay out. But God did.
Amen. Amen.
And God does. I told you that God's already given us a special project in helping to start that church in Staten Island. And God opened that door and we walked through that door. We are going back there again as a team to help knock on doors the week before the anniversary service, the first anniversary service that's coming up May the 11th to the 17th. But I can tell you something, when we stepped out by faith, we took our feet and we just kind of, okay, Lord, it's time for the crossing. I made my announcement to the church. We stepped out by faith. I didn't have all that many meetings. I did anything and everything to make ends meet. And I said, Lord, this is what you want us to do. Here we go. And we stepped. And it's as if God has held back so much trouble, trial, hurdle, and has made a path straight. How can you not know which direction to take when there's a big wall of water sitting there? Do you turn into the water? No. Are you going to try to go downstream and beat that big wall of water? No. I'm going to cross. Amen. Because my friend, I have a stone of remembrance. I have a stone of remembrance in my life of God's calling upon my heart and my life. I have a stone of remembrance of when He told me to cross over. And my friend, He may not just call you one time. He may give you for one task, and then for another task, and then for another task, another mighty Jordan that you need to cross over because He's given you a calling. So when there's a calling, there will be a crossing and a time of crossing. Thirdly, in Joshua chapter number 4, there is a gathering. there's a gathering. Joshua 4, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean pass over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, and out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. Now, he's not taking a little stone that he can hold in his hand. He's wanting something of some size now. And he says, every man upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. I'll tell you something. Through the years, the Lord has brought together a gathering of faithful men and women in the building of His ministry. And God has used men and women through this church through the years to help keep things going. And to help to keep the blessings coming. And the people that are able to come here and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For souls to be saved, hearts to be changed, and families to be mended back together again. Because there's a time of a gathering. A time of a gathering. There's a calling. And then there's a crossing. And now God is now telling Joshua, I want you to pick one man from every family of the tribes, the 12 tribes. And I wanted you to send these 12 men back into the river. And I want each of them to grab a stone upon their shoulder and to bring it out. That's what I want you to do. There's a gathering. And my friend, every time you meet here, there's a gathering. Every time you meet here, there's an opportunity for you to grab another stone. There's another opportunity for you to make another memory, another monument. And we're getting there. I'm getting closer. Can you tell? We're getting there. You may bring a friend. And that friend comes to church. And that friend gets saved. I remember meetings here at this church. Probably one of my first ones that I did. That this one man that was coming to your church brought his brother. And on that one Sunday morning, his brother got saved. This man came down crying with tears in his eyes. And down came the brother. And his brother got saved. And he was crying for his brother's sake. And he was very thankful that his brother... You remember who that was?
Yes.
Yeah. And his brother got saved. That was another stone for me. That was another marker for me. And through our ministry, we have known folks and story upon story upon story. Another calling, another crossing, another memory, another glory of what God's done in meeting our needs. And how God provided for this and how God provided for that. But not only that, for this soul to be saved and this soul to get on fire with God. There was a man in our church in Charlotte, North Carolina. He and his wife and their kids just started coming to church. They were from California. They weren't quite like us. But they grew fast. And this guy named David. David came up, and I think I've given you the story before about David. He wanted to become a soul winner. So Brother Holtz called, can I go soul winning with you? And I said, sure, come on, Brother David, let's go soul winning. He said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I said, David, I tell you, you're going to be the silent partner. I said, I can be silent. I said, David, you can be the praying partner. He said, I can pray. I said, great. I'll do the talking. I can do that too. You do all the talking. So we were all set. And I had given him some gospel tracts. And I said, David, here's some gospel tracts. Your job is to make sure nobody interrupts me talking to who I'm talking to. And I said, the devil will bring something or somebody by to interrupt what we're trying to do. And so what does he do? He's out there and I'm at the door. And I go, and I knock on that door. And next thing I know, this lady comes to the door. I'm witnessing to this young lady, a young teenager, and I'm talking to her about the Lord. And David looks over his shoulder over, and he sees this boy walking down. And he knows this is the only house on the end of this block. He's coming this way. So David stepped over with his gospel tract, pulled it out, and gave it to the boy. Now, I gave David one little bit of information. I said, David, if you give him the tract, why don't you ask him to see if you can read it to him? And the teenage boy said, yeah. You can read it to me. Because he handed it to him. Can I read it to him? He said, yeah. So you open up the track. David's first time out of soul winning. First person he's talking to. And he's already reading him the gospel track. And at the end, he says, would you like to pray the prayer? Because that's what it said. And then God, would you like to pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come to your heart? And he looks up and the boy says, yes. So I turn around from the girl that I'm talking to. Now I'm the silent partner. And now I'm the prayer partner. And I'm praying for David. And I can see him reading the prayer. And the boy's praying right after him. And next thing you know, boom! David's a soul winner. David took it. And now, hey, these years later, that's what, 15, 20 years later, David's now the soul winning director at the church.
Amen.
And you know what method he uses to teach new people how to go soul winning? Why don't you just give him a track and ask him if you can read it to him?
That'll work.
That's a memory. That's a monument. That's a joy of my heart and joy of my life. And there's many other stories just like David. And folks, maybe, now that you know what I'm talking about, to where God has brought blessings to you by being in church, brought blessings to you because of something that happened, because every time you come to church, there's a crossing over to the joy. And then there's a gathering. I hope this week you get this message. And I hope the rest of this week you'll understand the need of the gathering. But not only the gathering. I want you to see there is a remembering. There is a remembering. Here we are in Joshua chapter 4, but now verse number 6. God's already told him to gather the stones together, and I want you to carry them to where you're going to. Then he says, verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel. For how long?
Forever.
Forever. He said, I want you to gather these stones. We won't, for the sake of time, we won't keep reading. But I want you at this moment here. Now is the time to bring the stone up. Now is the time for you to bring your stone up. You see, at this moment here, Joshua is saying, hey guys, go out and grab the stones. And now we're going to pile them up. And as you grab your stone, can you think of something real quick, a blessing? Can you think of something real quick, that moment, that joy, like I just shared with you? And at this point, could you stand and bring your stone up? Here's mine. I brought mine up. Can somebody bring another one up? A remembering? Can you give me a remembering? Folks are coming, bringing a stone of remembering. You brought the stone. Has God shown you something? Has God been a blessing to you? Has there been a time that God answered your prayer? Amen. And so we're building a little monument here. Hey, we build monuments all over the place. Maggie and I were just in Washington, D.C. You know how many monuments over in Washington, D.C.? To the presidents? They're all over the place. I mean, you don't have to go very far. You just go over here to a little place called Antietam, and there's monuments all over the place.
Yes, there is.
A little further up the road and over a little bit off 15, you have all kinds of monuments up there in a place called Gettysburg, a place of remembering, where folks have come along, and at first they had a friend and they had a buddy that might have gotten shot and gotten killed, and he piled up a little pile of stones for him and to remember that friend of his, and they piled them up on high and so they could look at that. And so Joshua, when they had a remembering, a gathering, and now they have the remembering. And now as they got to where they were going, and Joshua also piled a big pile of stones just like this right there where the priest put their foot into the water. But now they're at their place there in Gilgal. And here they stack these stones. Now these are little ones, but can you imagine these guys having these big rocks? Can you imagine the gathering if they were competing against one another? Guy from the tribe of Judah grabs this one and says, look at me, yeah. But the guy from the chat of the Benjamites from the tribe of Benjamin, he says, yeah, but look at mine. Some big old Atlas dude walks in there. Whoa. I'm sure the pile was pretty high. But those rocks would stay there. Those rocks would stay there. Is there a remembering? A remembering. Generations will go by and the next generation would come and they would ask, what mean these stones? What mean these stones up here? What mean these stones that you brought up here? I like to think that each of them has a special meaning. Each of them has been, in a sense, bathed with much prayer by the incident that happened, a calling and a crossing, a stepping out by faith, and then a gathering, and now a remembering. What mean these stones? Maybe these stones were a reminder that the Lord leads and that the Lord makes a way.
Amen.
He put them there to remind them that the Lord is mighty and the Lord is to be feared forever because of what He did there. Stones of remembrance, stones of courage, stones of faith, stones of miracles, stones of mercy, stones of God's provision. Oh, my friend, when Jesus is the chief cornerstone and the Bible is the mortar by which the church is built and by which we run to, our King James Bible is that mortar, and the gospel is that stone that saves, and the faith of the pastor and the people as we lay another stone upon the pile every service and every moment as they're soul winning, you may have a moment that you could actually come and lay another monument and you have something in your life to remember again. Maybe God saved you from something, or maybe you were ill and God saw you through it, or maybe there's a friend or a brother or a cousin, or as we're praying now for Brother Merritt, that God will give victory, another miracle, another monument to build. Not unto men. Not unto man. But that all men will glory in the Lord and fear Him for what He's done. My friend, may we be brought back to the realm of remembrance to say, okay, someone asked, what mean these stones? My prayer is that we leave these here the rest of this week as a reminder of God's blessings. I know there's a song out there. If we had a friend of ours just sing it about I'm only human, and humans forget. So remind me. Remind me, dear Lord. Remind me again of Your goodness. Remind me again of Your love. Remind me again of Your faithfulness and how You've met my needs.
Amen.
From above. My friend, for revival to happen, we gotta wake up a little bit.
That's right.
Sometimes we need to be shook up a little bit, so we can finally see where we are. And these monuments around us that we have put in our past are like road markers that show us where we came from. And also they show us where we need to be. Do you still have the fear of the Lord upon your heart? For He is still the Lord God. He is still worthy of our praise. He is still worthy of our service. And we ought to fear Him. Not as one that is a child that's afraid of the thunderstorm, but a fear of respect, like we should have unto our moms and dads, that we know that they love us, but we know that when we're wrong, we deserve the correction. God has been so good. He has been so good to me. So with our heads bowed and eyes closed all across the auditorium, has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? If you say yes, He has been good, then let me ask you this. When's the last time you thanked Him? When's the last time you thanked Him in prayer? When's the last time you thanked Him at an old-fashioned altar? When's the last time you had a heart stirring because God was moving? When's the last time you felt God's calling upon your life? When's the last time you took that calling and you crossed over by faith? Because when you do, there'll be a gathering. There'll be a gathering. And it's then we have that time of remembering. Do you remember when? But oh, my friend, not to remember when to just leave it there, but to help us to move forward. Hey, do you remember when you brought somebody to church? What a moment that was. Let's do it again. You remember that person that you got to lead to the Lord? Oh, what a moment that was. Let's do it again. You remember that time when the church house was packed? Yeah. Let's do it again. Let's remember. But let's not live in the past. Let's move on to the future. That others may know that we serve a great God and is worthy of our faith and our love and our service. So let me ask you now, as we go into this time of invitation, I want to invite you to come to an old-fashioned altar and to share with the Lord again in your heart the meaning of your stone. So I didn't bring a stone, that's okay. Pretend. Pretend. And come give thanks for the goodness of the Lord upon your heart and upon your life. And then ask the Lord, Lord, give me a calling. And Lord, by faith, I will do that crossing so that there'll be a gathering. And my friend, it may look like a big, 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 deep Jordan River. But if God's called you to go, you take those first steps, it will part. And He will hold back the raging waters. So let's stand tonight. As we all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed, who would raise their hand and say, Brother Holzclaw, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm born again. There was that moment in my life where I called upon Jesus for my salvation. Here's my hand. Here's my hand all across the room. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would there be anybody here tonight who said, Brother Holzclaw, I do not know that I'm saved. I cannot say that I've ever done that, but I sure would like to tonight. Brother Tim, here's my hand. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I cannot remember the time that I've done that. Way like that? Now who tonight would say, Brother Holzclaw, God has been good, and there's been a time that God gave me a calling and I fulfilled and I went through it, and God blessed in many different ways in my heart and my life and family and friends. Who would give testimony to that right now? Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Can I encourage you to take that to the old-fashioned altar and give it to the Lord and not let the path to the old-fashioned altar be covered with dust, but be made clean with tears for what He's done for you.